I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio. And you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is episode number 260.
That is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcaster. You could check out his Twitter at ATFMB. My name is John Anilio. I'm a musician and a teacher and a podcaster as well. And you could check me out at johnanilio.com.
Before you get too far in, I just want to say that we, you know, for our Patreon backers, we are live streaming. We figured it out. And we do have a viewer.
Yeah, all right. There you go. We don't know who it is, though, do we?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. So we finally did get that going, and thank you to Patrick for putting in the hard work in to get that going this week.
And they can ask us questions. I've got the Q&A up.
Yes, very good. Is that something you'd like to do? Go and do that now. Today we are joined by Ingrid Hardy. She's a pro illustrator. She's done lots of different work. Most recently she's doing some Star Wars Force Awakens stuff for Topps Cards, and I certainly want to get into talking about that. But Ingrid, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I probably didn't show on the camera, but I'm blushing and I'm nervous as all get out. I've been listening to you guys for years. So, both to the SF Signal podcast and the Functional Nerds, and I've been listening to all your rants about Boston pizza and bagels and all kinds of stuff.
You're the one.
I'm super happy.
If you're a fan, you'll eventually get on the show.
Don't even get me started on bagels. I took it. Just so you understand, Ingrid, I was in King Supers, which is a local supermarket here in Denver, Colorado. I'm in King Supers, and they had this rack, and it was all of these prepackaged bagels. And I took a picture, and I immediately texted DiNardo and said, "Is this what you mean?" He's like, "No, that's where bagels go to die."
Well, I'm pretty lucky. Well, they're far away, but in Montreal, you can get good bagels. I couldn't really give you any names of places, but you can get good bagels. And amazing smoked meat. I think the best smoked meat ever used where is in Montreal. You're going to find that, I think.
So you are up in Canada then, I assume then, Ingrid.
Yes. I believe on your last podcast, you were shamefully making lots of fun at us Canadians and igloos.
That was more me making fun of Dave Gross. Come on.
Yeah. He's not even a native Canadian. I want to definitely get into all of the various kind of artwork that Ingrid does and what life is like as an illustrator. But let's move right into our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Ingrid, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us what your pick of the week is?
I couldn't come up with only one. Okay. I just couldn't do it.
That's fine.
I have three. Two shows and one book, and I could really go on forever with stuff, but I know I shouldn't do that. Anyway, my first one is I just come across a TV show last, I think November was when I started it, and I know everybody else knows all about it, but I didn't, called Sherlock. I'm just, like, over the moon with that show. I love that show. It's, of course, everybody knows it's Stephen Moffat who's in charge of that, and deals with, of course, the whole idea of Sherlock. I don't know if either of you two have watched that show at all.
I missed the Christmas special.
Oh, don't say a thing because I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't get to watch it.
Oh, okay. Phew. I haven't seen it. I don't want to be spoiled. We don't get it on the station up here, or I don't get it on the station. So I've ordered the DVD, and I should be getting it in about 2.5 weeks. So I can't wait to watch it.
I should do that. I love that show. Yes.
Then another show that's been around for a while that I just fell across last year, that's Dollhouse by Joss Whedon.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, I just watched that a couple months back. It's so weird and so good and so many twists. I don't know. That's some great writing on that show in terms of surprises and just being like, oh. I don't know. It's really worth it. Yeah.
I fell into it by accident because Amazon was having a sale on DVDs, so I'll often go and check out what's on, and I like watching TV shows on DVD because you don't have any commercials, so I love that. And then that was there, so I thought, well, I'll try it. And I very nearly gave up on it after the second episode. I just didn't like it. But after the fourth episode, I was hooked. That was it. Completely fell in love with it.
Well, and
Topher was my favorite character.
The actress, Faith, who plays the main character in that, I think that's like one of her best characters, really. That was a show where she actually stretched and really showed us her acting chops, and I liked it a lot.
Oh, she was really good.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about it, because I had the same experience where I almost gave up on that show. I watched it on Netflix a couple months back, and I was like, you know what, maybe this one isn't just for me. And most of my friends online were just like, nah, you gotta, you know, they're like, you can actually skip till about episode 4. And I don't like skipping episodes, because I kind of feel like even the ones where they're trying to find their footing, they're still sort of throwing out information that they end up paying off later. So you kind of just have to power through sometimes the first few episodes of the series and just get to the good stuff. And that one gets so much better so fast. But the first 2-3 episodes are, you know, a little dicey. But once you get like 4 or 5 in, then it's all great from there. I agree there.
It was fantastic. My last pick was a book that I read just before The Force Awakens came out called Lost Stars, written by Claudia Gray.
Mm.
I really recommend that book. It kind of sets a lot of things up for the way they've set up the Star Wars universe now. It's got a little I think it's a well-written book. It's a bit quick, and I would have enjoyed it if it had maybe gone into things a little bit more and stuff like that. But what you gonna do? It was a really good book, and it kind of clued in some of the little visual things that you see in the movie after. I really liked it. If you're a real big Star Wars fan and you like reading Star Wars books, I recommend giving that one a try.
Yeah, that was my favorite book from last year. That was my number one book I read 68 books last year. That was my favorite one out of it all. I really loved it. And what I'm really excited about, in our last episode, I picked Alan Dean Foster's novelization of The Force Awakens.
And I just started it last week.
Cool. Yeah, and if you notice in the front of that book, they have like the new timeline of where like the new books fit in with the movies. And Claudia Gray is writing another book that is going to fit in chronologically right before The Force Awakens. And I don't know when that's due to come out. I forget what the name of it is off the top of my head. But so she has been hired to do another book. So I don't know if it's the same characters from Lost Stars, that it's going to be those characters, but a few years later. That would be my guess. But I would
guess that too, because it really just kind of went schluck. It just, you know.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does end that way. So yeah, so I support that pick of Lost Stars. Patrick, what is your pick this week?
My pick, John, is something that I am ridiculously happy about. I've always been a huge music fan. I love having music. I love having music when I'm working. In the past, it's been difficult because, you know, I'll end up taking music with me to work and trying to listen to it in different ways. You know, the stuff that I have, because I like you, I have a huge library of music, right? I don't like the Apple Music sync stuff, you know, where it tries to sync things and you have to sign into your account. I don't like that. It doesn't appeal to me at all. And it's always been difficult for me when I go to work to bring my music with me, right? Because now, am I going to put gigabytes worth of music in MP3 form on my work computer? You know, so there's always been a weird thing. Now, the Beatles are streaming.
Yes, they are.
And they're streaming on all different kinds of services, including Spotify. And so now I'm ridiculously happy because I can stream the Beatles at work. And people have noticed that they come in and I'm just sitting there, you know, hopping and bopping in my chair and listening to music. And so my pick is that the Beatles are finally streaming.
An excellent pick it is. Yeah. I haven't really, because I go through, I would say every 2 or 3 years I go through and just listen to the Beatles for a month or two.
And for me, it's like comfort food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important for me, and I always just end up doing that. And I haven't done it in a while, so I'm probably due to do that. And I'd like to do that now that it's all up there, because I have a bunch of the Beatles albums.
I have them
just
all. In, I have everything.
At one point, I had them all, but for some reason, they didn't all make it into my library. So there's a couple of things where, you know, there's a couple of albums that were not albums. It was sort of like greatest hits, but there were things that were just singles, like Rain. Like Rain wasn't on an album, but I love Rain. And so there's a couple of tunes that, you know, I don't have in my library that I'm sure are up streaming. So
I have the three special editions that they did with all the extras and the recordings, you know, and like their very early stuff where they were like the background group for this guy who was doing songs. And I have
my daughter has all their albums as well. She absolutely loves them.
And what happened with me was I was quite young, and I just remember hearing a song, and it was actually When I'm 64. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my mom, and I said, I love this song. Who is this? And she said, well, that's the Beatles. And I said, well, I want to know more about the Beatles. And she took me over to her friend's house, and her friend's husband was an audio geek, right? And he opened up this closet in this room. It was one of these, like, you know, the accordion doors where you open it up. And the entire closet was a stereo system that he had built, a component system. And he had all this stuff. And he had everything the Beatles had ever done. He had it all on vinyl. He had it on, you know, 45s. He had it on LPs. Yeah. And I got a bunch of cassette tapes and took it over there. And we just sat there together and went through every single song. And he dubbed them all onto cassette tapes for me. And that's awesome. I had those for years until I actually was old enough to have a job, have money, and then I started going out and buying my own stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they're finally. I'm assuming with that, you know, just to get, you know, you could talk about all the different streaming stuff, but what I'm assuming happens with them is that they finally just got a good deal where they were going to get paid accordingly. Sure. And I think you're just going to start seeing that more and more because there are still some artists that are holding out, but I think it's gonna, you know, that's a whole other discussion, but with the streaming stuff, I think the more people do it and the better the deals are, the more it becomes viable for the artist.
Well, and at this point, I don't know who controls that catalog because it was Michael Jackson. He outbid McCartney for it. So I don't know who actually controls the catalog at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm sure there's a lot at play there because it's worth so much. So, my pick this week is going to be a TV show as well, and I probably have picked it at some point, but the fourth and final season is now on Netflix, and I just watched it this week, so I completed the series, and that is Continuum. Continuum airs in Canada first, and then, because I think it's made in Vancouver, and one of the few science fiction shows shot in Vancouver where they actually call it Vancouver. Mm-hmm. They're not saying it's New York or Chicago or whatever.
Fresno, yeah.
Yes, so it's shot in Vancouver and it is Vancouver. And I've enjoyed the show the whole time. And with this fourth season, it's one of those things where I don't think they the whatever network it's on, they didn't really want to have a fourth season, but the creators were able to get a 6-episode order. So they had to wrap it up in 6 episodes. And I think they did a pretty good job. I was satisfied with how it ended. If you've watched it, it's certainly worth finishing off. You can definitely tell, they had a rush through this to, you know, you could tell like they probably would have liked to have had 3 episodes just to deal with that and 3 episodes just to deal with that. And it's like
maybe a bit like Fringe, I guess. Fringe kind of had to squeeze everything in a little bit at the end.
Yeah, it happens, unfortunately. But it's better than not like something like Alphas. Yeah. I loved Alphas. Alphas' second season ends on a cliffhanger where I think everybody's either dead or incapacitated.
Everybody's down. We don't know if they're passed out or dead.
Yeah, and except for Gary. I think Gary's walking around, I believe. And that's it. That's how the show ends. No more. It's done. And it's like, oh, that's great. So if you like Continuum, the fourth and final season, it's only 6 episodes. It's up there now. And if you haven't watched it, I think it's a science fiction show totally worth watching. It's a time travel show.
Maybe I'll try it. I've seen it on. I just didn't get into it. There's so many shows to watch.
Absolutely. Today. Yeah. What's good about Continuum is even the prior 3 seasons, it's one of like the shorter episode runs, meaning like it's a 10 or 13. I think season 1 is 10 episodes, season 2 and 3 are 13 episodes, and season 4 is 6 episodes. So even though it's 4 seasons, it's like they're not 22 episode seasons. They're like 13. So it's something you can get through kind of fast. It's not a huge commitment, but I enjoyed it very much. So
Sherlock is a really fast commitment. They're only 3 episodes a season. That really blew my mind.
And they're like an hour and a half a piece though. So like they're
they're
mini
big
movies.
Hour and a half. Yeah. And there's a lot, and you can easily watch them 2 or 3 times and catch stuff you've missed. It's classic Moffat. There's stuff to look at, stuff to see. Oh my God, that was there. Oh, there was this. Oh, there was that. Whatever. It's,
yep. All right. So cool. Well, you know, Ingrid, you know, we, you and I have, you know, been the kind of online friends for a long time. And I think you are also on, my music mailing list. And I feel like you and I have had a lot of conversations, through that email list over the years as well. So, you know, one of the things, and the reason I asked you onto the show is like on Facebook, you posted that you did these Force Awakens cards for Tops. So maybe you could tell us all about that.
Yeah, Tops. Actually, as it happens, doing this show with you guys, it's kind of neat. It kicks off my 10th anniversary doing sketch cards to begin with. So I had kind of been thinking, what am I going to do to maybe celebrate it or something? So this is a nice way to kick it off. Tops has, as everybody know, been doing cards for like ever. They're mostly sports cards and things like that. They've been doing sketch cards, I think, since the 70s in a very small scale. But back then, they really and truly were sketch cards. They were just extremely basic drawings. I don't even know who did them and stuff. I haven't really looked into it enough as it is. And over the years, well, it's kind of got a little cult thing. Sketch cards as such are actually what you call personal sketch cards. ACEO is what they're more commonly known as, and they're often traded away. But these kind of cards, these are included in sets of printed trading cards, and it's one of the chase things that you would go after and try to collect them and stuff like that. Tops, I was lucky enough to be invited to do the Star Wars 30th anniversary set in 2006. Would be 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, technically it was 6 because, you know, you're asked ahead of time before the set actually comes out. And that was my first set to work on. So that was like pretty, I was super excited about that. And it was a lot of fun. I'd only been doing sketch cards for about a year before that. And since then, I can't tell you how many sets I've done for Tops. I've done almost all the Star Wars sets since that time. There were sets before that. But since then, I've done, I think, all the Masterworks, there's more sets than I can name off. You'd have to go on I have a website where I've got all the list of all the sets. I simply don't have it in my mind.
Yeah, and I will throw the web address is rabbithorse.com, yes. And you can find all of her artwork, including the Tops cards there.
Because I love horses, and in my previous life before being a full-time illustrator, I worked and trained with horses for nearly almost 20 years, 15 years, 15, 20 years, something like that. Mm. So I do a lot of artwork with that concerns horses now too, as along with sketch cards. I don't think anybody that I know makes a living only with sketch cards.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's very stop and go and art and stuff like that, and the pay is not exactly fantastic.
Well, not a lot of artistic pay often is. But so how did you get into doing, you know, illustrations for sketch cards to begin with, you know, before even the Star Wars stuff happened? How did it
I had work? Never heard of sketch cards until someone messaged me on a forum. In 2005, I discovered the world of forums, and that really opened my world. I was like, oh my God, there are people who like what I like and stuff like that. Because before that, you know, I was pretty much, and still am pretty much alone in my fangirl world. So forums is like my life. It's the only place I can find where there are people who actually get it, you know. So yeah, so somebody pointed me in the direction to a sketch card forum called Scoundrel Publishing, Scoundrel Art Forum, where I was for a long, long time, and I think I'm still a moderator over there, but it's very quiet now. But they're great people that if you want to know more about it, that's also a good place to go and fiddle around and see what other people have done, because there are many, 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 many artists. So that's how I got into it, and then just playing with it, it was a big adaptation to try to go from doing big things to my canvas is now 2.5 by 3.5 inches most of the time. So that was a bit of a period of adaptation. And then over time to kind of get people interested in your work and to see what I want to do with it and things like that. And then now I've also worked for Cryptozoic, Upper Deck, Rittenhouse, Pernas Studios, which was a small company but is growing bigger. They're doing some really high quality sets and things like that. So it's just kind of snowballed.
I was looking at your website. I was looking at some of the artwork. And I remember I collected a lot of this kind of stuff in the 90s. So that was my big boom for comic book collecting and actually cards and stuff, because that's when I was young. I was ridiculously stupid. I had disposable income, you know, and I was just buying everything. And that's why I joke that I put my comic book, the owner of the comic book store, I put his kids through college. And I used to buy all of this stuff. I actually have over on the mantle over here that you can't see behind a limited edition. It was the Millennium Falcon limited edition Topps cards. And it was,
oh, really?
And it's a cheap ass, ugly looking faux Millennium Falcon that sits on a stand, and when you open it up, inside is a full set of the Topps cards from that particular year that were Star Wars.
So oh, cool.
I have tons of stuff like that. I love this stuff. And I have to tell you, John, she's talking about, you know, this little tiny card that is her canvas. There's so much detail. And just looking at over here on the laptop, I'm looking at the art. It's just so detailed. I don't know how you get that much detail on such a small canvas.
Well, you'll know if the artist you meet is a sketch card artist, because they're all going to be wearing glasses and they won't see anything.
Well, you kind of just answered my question, because I was going to ask, like, do you actually sketch it in that small of a fit, or does it get shrunk down?
Well, let's see. I've got stuff right here. Say I got a few things here you can kind of sort of see. Sorry for the mess here. Stuff that I can actually, I'm allowed to show you. Well, here is like I don't know if you can see this. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I can see it. Huh? Okay.
This is a card that's going to be painted eventually. It's all drawn. That's just hand drawn on. Mm-hmm. Then after that, can't show this. Then I start painting it. See, this, well, it's a different, this is a different card, but because I work on several at the same time.
So you're painting physically on the card.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
You're physically painting on that little card.
Yes, on these, yes. I mean, I've done stuff, well, it's over on the other side of the room, but I've done stuff that, yeah, they take it and then they print it on cards. I've done that too. But these ones that I'm showing you, they are cards that, you know, either painted and stuff like, oops,
that's
sorry.
That's amazing.
And stuff like that. So this is my, that one. And what else have I got here? This is just a few that I had around. This I did a couple of years ago.
Oh, cool.
See that?
Yeah.
And things like that. This is another one that's sketched. This is a personal card. on see on the back is my my logo nice. And stuff like that. And some of these others.
And this illustrates why people should become Patreon backers for us, John, and join us on the live streaming, because she's showing us a bunch of amazing stuff that people can't see.
Yeah.
This is another one that I have. This was fun because it's, I don't know if you can see it, but the cardstock is really thick.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. That's amazing because
Star Wars.
I would have imagined that you had to paint on a canvas with a certain ratio, and then they would photograph it, you know, scan it, and then size it down for the cards. But that's not what you're doing at all.
Well, yeah, they do. They do that too. These are two that I have available. I don't know if there are any hockey fans, but maybe some of your watchers and listeners, they could, I don't know, you can use this to give away or something. But, I do that, but most of the time it's just hand-painted on.
That's amazing.
You know, and stuff. Patrick, one of the things that I was thinking as we're talking with Ingrid here is that we should really, you know, introduce her to Jame Gates, because I know Jame is a horse person too. So I suspect, you know, because I know that's something that often comes up in genre discussions with authors, if it's like some sort of fantasy book where they're riding horses, and people who are into horses,
oh god, yes,
get very upset if the lingo is not correct.
I don't understand the problem, John. You get on a horse, you ride them for 60,000 leagues, and then you get off the horse. It's not like the horse needs to eat or drink or poop. I mean, come on, that's just the way it is. And I don't know about introducing her to Jame Gates, because Jame Gates and Galen Dara scarred me for life with an image, I believe, that Galen drew called Unicorn Porn.
Oh, yes. I recall that whole blow-up. I recall there was a lot of, click on this and having horrible images come up from there. But,
imagining that Ingrid's house is full of Dungeons & Dragons miniatures that have all been painted meticulously.
Oh, my God. Goodness, but no. But no, not because I don't like that stuff, but like, for instance, the same with video games and, role-playing games. If I started playing that, I'd probably not do anything else but play with those things. So I just assume not, you know.
Sure.
Otherwise, I will not get anything done.
Well, I didn't say play.
But my son actually did. He had a friend who played a lot of role-playing games at the time when they were younger, and they had all these little things, and they'd bring them over and paint them, stuff like that. Didn't last very long, but they did do that, yeah. It was, wow. I was looking at these things like, ooh, you know, but if you start getting into that, you're hooked and you're gone. Toast, you know.
I was going to say, that's Django Wexler, who's a friend of the show, who is a very successful fantasy author. That's his thing now, is painting those little figures from the various role-playing games and that kind of thing. So if you follow him on Twitter or Facebook, he's often posting and he's always very disparaging about his skill as a painter. He's like, yep, here's another one that's horrible. He's like, I think I'm getting better, though.
Well, you definitely need like the magnifying thing, and you have to get in really close. Because I tried to do that years and years and years and years and years ago when I first got into Dungeons & Dragons. I tried to get some miniatures, and I thought, well, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to paint these. And what I learned very quickly is I don't have any skill whatsoever with that.
Nobody has skill when they start. You just have to keep doing it and eventually figure it out.
It was horrible. You know, I would try to like put a little dot of red, and I would go dot, and it would just go.
It could be a style on its own, you know. You know, your own particular je ne sais quoi, you know.
Well, and then I saw that you could buy them pre-painted, and I was like, ooh, cheating.
It works.
You know, Ingrid, let me hear your thoughts on what's kind of a big trend right now. What do you think of the adult coloring books that are kind of I don't know if that's a thing up in Canada as it is down here, but that's like a real big thing now.
Well, I think this, a thing up here, a thing down there, well, it's kind of like a global village now. But yeah, I've come across those. Some of them are really nice. Where did I look at them? I think it was on Etsy. I was, because I like to sew too when I have time, which isn't very often, and Etsy is a great place to go looking for fabric. So in my searches for fabric, I came across, I don't know why, but some of these coloring books was like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole long, they range from, I don't know, to, oh my God, that's absolutely outstanding. I couldn't give you any names off the top of my head, but I have come across a few that are really beautiful.
In Canada, are they in French?
Well, I don't think they have much in the way of words.
Well, are the pictures in French?
Okay. That one went right over my head.
Yeah. Now, you know, Patrick, it's interesting because I've gotten a few of those sent to me now.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if you've gotten them, but I guess some of the. Well, I'll have to send you them because I'm not so interested in the coloring books. But so I've gotten sent an Outlander one. I got sent a Game of Thrones one.
Wow.
And I got sent a Doctor Who one.
Wow, those are three very different things.
Yes, but I think they're all sent by the same publisher, so I guess they just got the rights for the coloring book rights. I don't know how any of this works, but I have three of them sitting on my shelf at home. So maybe we should do a contest or something and give those away, because I'm probably not going to use it.
So, Ingrid, are you familiar with what I do every Wednesday on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter as often as I should be. I have seen a couple of your posts and stuff.
I do Wednesday doodles.
Show it again.
I do Wednesday doodles.
Oh my God.
And my format for drawing on Wednesday doodles is the large post-it note pad. And I always do my Wednesday doodles on these little post-it pads. And believe it or not, I do actually keep them in one of these books. I keep them.
Well, hey, you can start your own coloring book with those.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? And I've kind of gotten other people involved with it, too. So, like, Jeff Patterson now does a lot of art. But, yeah, so, like, I keep all of my doodles.
Wow.
As I do them.
This one up here. that would be your left, top left. What?
That one?
That's cool. Yeah, that reminds me a little bit of the Star Wars.
That's actually what you're looking at there is a scene from 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's walking,
it's like Luke's thing.
Where he's walking through the airlock. Yeah, that's one of the good ones.
Yeah, the airlock.
I also like this one right here because it is Abe from Abe's Odyssey. So
I don't know it.
So I do these every week, and it's just my way of encouraging people to doodle and draw. Because I think everybody likes to doodle, and I'm not necessarily an artist by any means, and I tell people that right up front, and Jeff Patterson says, yeah, it's amazing, Patrick. The more you draw, the least talented you become. But it's a cool little thing that I do.
Great.
Yeah, Wednesday doodles. So you might check that out
sometime.
I think
it's great.
Do you hashtag it Wednesday doodle?
Yes. And now other people are involved. So Jeff Patterson does it. There's a couple other people out there who just, you know, do it every once in a while and will doodle. And it doesn't matter. I just love people doing art, right? So it doesn't matter if it's good, bad, if it's huge detailed like Patterson does, or if it's goofy stuff like I do.
That's great. That's fantastic. I think that's good on you for encouraging that.
Cool. All right, Pat. Well, you know, before we begin to wrap it up, so Ingrid, why don't you tell us what you have planned or what maybe you have coming up, if you're allowed to talk about it, because as you were going through all your sketches, you're like, can't show that.
Welcome to LucasArts.
Yeah.
Perna Studios will have a new... I think two new sets out this year, of which I've got a sketch where I can't show you that, but that one is actually about so big. I can tell you it's got a dragon on it. That's all I can
do. Okay, all right.
There will be a new set out for that. Tops will have a couple of new sets. I can't do them all. I'm just overloaded with stuff. I can't tell you what it is, but there is some new stuff coming out from them. I'm working on two sets for Upper Deck, which I can't name. I can't really name anything until they come out. That's really dull, eh? Why don't you talk about your work? I can't.
Well,
you're
just telling people, like, you know, watch my website because I'm going to be launching these things soon, and you need to be aware.
Absolutely. I almost always post things first on my website, so if you want to sign up to my Postmatic thing, which if you guys are web gurus, tell me what you think of Postmatic. I don't know if it's really a good way to keep people informed and stuff. But yeah, go to my website, sign up for whatever you want, and whenever I post stuff, it goes there. Also, when I have things available for sale, it's there that I put it first. Very Facebook cool. is my second place usually. So
and John, just so you understand, when you sign a contract, or actually when you're approached to sign a contract with LucasArts or now Disney. You know the whole trope about the guys in the black helicopters and the black SUVs? They actually do come out and descend on your house, and they circle your house, and they come in, and they're like, before we'll even talk to you about anything else, you have to sign this non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's where all those clouds came from. Well, actually, with the first Force Awakens set, that really was shrouded underneath. That was something we couldn't say anything for months. And all of us who were on that set, we didn't even know we were being chosen. All of a sudden, the stats on my website just went poof like this, and I was like, where's all that coming from? And then a week later, I got an email from the Topps art director, because through Topps that we go. And he said, oh, well, you've been, if you're interested, you've been picked to be offered a chance to work with Lucasfilm and Bad Robot and Topps to work on the set. And so I was like, yes, of course, mm-hmm. And then finally they come back to us and they tell us that we were actually handpicked by Bad Robot and by Lucasfilm to work on that set. So that was like, and I think there are only 24, 25, give or take, that's of awesome. Us working on that set. So that was like, wow, pretty amazing. It's really rare.
That's awesome.
5 minutes. Okay. I don't have my glasses on. I have to actually.
That was for myself. John. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that was a real. I'm getting up to the big time.
There
thing.
You go.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's awesome. Congratulations.
After 10 years, it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, okay. So before we do wrap it up, I do want to once again say your website. It's rabbithorse.com. So you can check out Ingrid's work there. On Twitter, she is @Ingrid_KV_Hardy. And make sure you put that in exactly, because there are other Ingrid Hardys out in the world, as Ingrid told us before we started recording. So make sure you get that exact. And go to Rabbit Horse. I'm sure you can get to all of her social media and that kind of thing.
There. Oh, yeah. It's all there.
Yeah, very good.
I'm also going to be, I'll say that real quick. I'm going to be traveling in the spring, and I'm going to try to relate it to my artwork, possibly if I can find the time to post a sketch a day type of thing, and maybe post a few photographs from my phone or something like that. I'm going to give that a try. So follow, come along with me, and I will see what happens with that.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Very good. For us this week, if you like the show, if you get value out of the show, if you find us informative or entertaining,
or if you want to see all the stuff that Ingrid's flashing on the screen.
Yes, because you can, depending on the level that you pledge at, you can be invited to this live stream that we're doing right now. Go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds and consider becoming one of our patrons. Do $1 a month. That ends up being 25 cents per episode, and it really helps us out. And you can join. We have now, as the time we're recording this, 37 patrons. So thank you, those 37 people. You are awesome. Thank you so much for backing the show. It makes a world of difference. It really fills Patrick and I with joy that you think highly enough of the show, that you get enough out of the show where you are pledging to help us run it every month. So thank you so much. And if you'd like to join those awesome people, again, just patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, and for you this week.
I just want to encourage people to go to amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com, search Cahill's Unfinished Business, and check out my new ebook. It's got a great cover. Ingrid, don't disparage it. It's the best we could do.
It's a good cover, Patrick. I like it. It's a really good cover.
And thanks to everybody, for backing us. It's awesome. We love it.
All right. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Ingrid, thank you again for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
All right, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
There is moonlight and moss in the trees. Down the seven bridges roll. Some people like to stay out late. Some folks can't hold out that long.
When the sun goes down, just another lonely boy in town, and she's out running round. She wasn't just another woman.
Record, we never broke up, we just took a 14-year vacation.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?